The title of the message this morning is very simple. It's The Importance of Prayer. You might have looked through your curriculum and there are many nuts and bolts things there. And we don't want to discuss many of the nuts and bolts things of the curriculum. We want to look at perhaps something a little bit different. And I want to look at the importance of prayer. But before we enter into the message, how many of you were here for Sunday service, yesterday's service? Okay, I want to bring that back to your minds again. You were told in the opening meditation about the pinpoint of light, examining your life. And those of you that I've spoken with, you have acknowledged that you are willing to be open before God and say whatever you will. And in the main message, that point was strengthened. It was affirmed. And I just want to bring that up to you again. Please don't forget what God has spoken to your heart. Please allow yourself to remain open to whatever He might say. Many of you determined to come here with an open heaven, not having any known need. You've been to many Bible conferences. You have a good, solid home life. Your devotional life is in order. That's a wonderful thing. I'm glad you came that way. But stay willing for God to do something more. Stay willing for Him to go a little bit deeper so that He can take you a little bit farther than you are. And frankly, there are some of you here that have great needs. You have great needs. Perhaps you haven't acknowledged them yet, but I'm going to ask you this morning, if you would please this week, please humble yourself and acknowledge that you might have a need. Acknowledge before God that all is not right in your life and that you want to change. God will not force you into the image He has for you. You have to choose it. Please choose it. It is our desire through these messages and through the discussion time to establish all of you in the foundational doctrines and attitudes of the Christian life so that you will be strengthened and encouraged to go right past us. And in my own heart, when I look at you, I look at each one of you and I see a never-dying soul. And once that soul is saved, it has one purpose, but to further the testimony of Jesus Christ in this earth. Not to serve yourself, not to be satisfied and happy, but to serve Jesus Christ with all of your life. Can I just say it that plain? He said, take up your cross and follow Me. He didn't offer a bed of downy pillows. He never said to anyone it was going to be easy. In fact, He guaranteed you would die to follow Him. Jesus took His cross willingly, and we must do the same. And if you will, then the future of God's church is in very good hands. Are you willing to labor for His glory? It is a privilege and a responsibility to be a Christian. Well, as we begin speaking on the importance of prayer, I'm going to bring up something that a brother mentioned to me when we were talking yesterday. He said, why don't people pray? And I thought, well, that's pretty good. And as I was praying during the night, the Lord said, please bring that up. Why don't you pray? Well, let me ask this first. How many of you are really satisfied with your prayer life? It's right where you want to be. Okay. I think that was an absolutely no one responded. But that maybe is just because you're humble or honest. Why don't we pray? What are some of the reasons? There's just some that came to my own mind, and you probably have others. Well, it doesn't do any good to pray. It seems kind of strange to pray. No one taught me to pray. I can't put the right words together when it's time to pray. I'm not very good with my speech. Well, I don't need to pray because God knows anyway. I don't know how. I don't have any time. There are far too many distractions in my life. Maybe some of those are familiar to you. If not, and there is a reason that you don't pray, I hope it came to your own mind. And that God right now can begin ministering a change. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm chapter 5. I can never decide how much scripture to read, so I usually just read it all. So we'll read Psalm chapter 5. There's 12 verses. Just follow along. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto Thee will I pray. My voice shalt Thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto Thee, and will look up. For Thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with Thee. The foolish shall not stand in Thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into Thy house in the multitude of Thy mercy. And in Thy fear will I worship toward Thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in Thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make Thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy Thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. I want to draw your attention to verse 3. I'm not going to talk about morning prayer, but I do want to talk about this. It says, I will direct my prayer. And the picture that we can take from there is twofold. One, we can take the idea of the Levitical priest laying out the morning sacrifice. There was the altar. And they had the sacrifice, and they put it in particular order upon the altar. They laid it out in a prescribed fashion. And that is one way that we lay out our prayers in a prescribed fashion. We put them out before God, and we say, here is our sacrifice. What was the purpose of the sacrifice? First, to expunge guilt, right? Take care of sin. That's part of the sacrifice. We lay it out there. There was the sacrifice of the thank offering, and we're not going to get into all of that. And the other way you can look at this direct, it's purposeful, you lay it out. The other way is drawing a bow. And you direct your bow to a specific target. In this case, your prayers are not to the air. You're not scattering your prayers around to your neighbor. You're not praying unto an idol. You're not praying to wood or stone. You're praying to the God of heaven. So you direct your prayer unto Him. It's not just words that you say. It's not wishes in your heart. It's directed and it's purposeful. And the next part of that verse says, and will look up. What does that mean? It means that I have an expectation that the answer is forthcoming. I'm going to look up to Him whom I have requested it, and I'm going to watch because I expect an answer. How many of you prayed last night? Don't raise your hands. How many of you prayed last night for Larry and Jewel when the hotline went around? When you prayed, did you look for an answer? Were you trusting God that He had heard? And then were you in anticipation of the phone ring and saying, everything's fine? How did you direct your prayer? And did you look up to God when you prayed? And that's just a very recent thing. But there are others. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Many of you have cried desperate prayers. But did you really expect an answer? We must direct our prayer to Him and look for the answer. Well, we want to look at a couple of things here as we look at the importance of prayer. First, let's consider the foundation of prayer. And I have three things that I'd like to point out. The foundation of prayer is, first of all, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Without that, you can't pray. Well, you can make noise, but God can't hear. But through the blood. We have a type there in Genesis, in chapter 3. You don't need to turn there. In chapter 3, when they were sent out of the garden, first, God slayed an animal and covered Adam and Eve with the skins of the animal. They had communion with God. By sin, communion was broken with God. By the blood and the covering, they entered into a different relationship, but a type of restored relationship with God. When the Levitical law was instituted, there was blood shed that gave entrance for them into the Holy of Holies, back into the presence of God. It was shed blood. But it didn't last. It was temporary. It had to be redone year after year. And there was always a remembrance of the sin made. But in the new covenant under Jesus Christ, His blood shed once for all men in Hebrews chapter 11. Why don't you turn there? Or Hebrews chapter 10, I'm sorry. Begin in verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their mind will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. It's one time. The blood of Jesus gives us entrance forever into the holiest of all. There is nothing that can hold you back. If you are separated from God by sin, you cry out to Him and say, Lord, the shed blood of Jesus, I don't understand Your mercy, but it gives me a right to come back. And I'm coming by faith in that shed blood. I'm coming. So the blood of Christ opens the way. That is the first foundation of prayer. If you have not the blood of Christ covering the sins in your life, you cannot have entrance to God. He can draw you. He can bring you to the place of recognizing your need. The only prayer that God can really answer before the blood of Jesus is applied to your life is that one for salvation. The second foundation of prayer is faith. Faith in what? You ever wonder that? We talk about faith. It's something we can't see. It's something that we can't hold on to. And the evidences often in our mind are tenuous at best. But Jesus said, when the disciples said, increase our faith, Lord. Jesus said unto them, if ye had faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you could say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up and planted in the sea, and it should obey you. You ever tried to pray a tree out of its place, thinking that you would test God's Scripture? No? That's pretty smart. Faith in what? Do we have faith in the method of prayer? So we go through the Bible and we copy all of the types of prayers there and we just pray the method? Is that what we have faith in? Do you have faith in some power? Faith in power to pluck up a tree. I mean, that takes a lot of effort. If you need to take a tree out of the ground, you've got to call somebody that has a great big digging tool and they come and they pull the tree up out of the ground. So do you have faith in power to do something? Do you have faith in your own ability to make it happen? Is it faith in a form? Is it even faith in prayer? There are many people in the evangelical world today, when you ask them if they have faith, they'll say, yes, I have faith, I pray. Well, what's your faith in? My faith is in my prayer. I pray, therefore all of these things will work out. Faith in prayer is not right. It's the wrong place. It's who, not what. That should be the right question. We are to have faith in God. We're to have faith in the omnipotent God who can move the mountain in front of you. Open your Bibles also to Mark chapter 11. Have faith in God. When Jesus begins teaching on prayer, He begins with that. Have faith in God. That's what we need. Verse 22 of Mark chapter 11. God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Faith. God says in Jeremiah chapter 29, don't turn there. He says, and if you seek me, you will find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. You need to have faith if you want to discover God. It's the importance of prayer. He tells us in Hebrews 11:6 that it's impossible to please Him without faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God doesn't reward a casual seeker. It's wholehearted and it's diligent. And thirdly, the foundation of prayer is obedience based in love to God, not the law of God. Turn to John chapter 14. Obedience based in love and not the law. Verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which he hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Obedience is a foundation of prayer. Sisters, brothers, do you reward a rebel? Preston, go clean your room. No, I want a cookie. Okay, well, here's two. That's probably not what would happen at your house. No, You don't reward a rebel. So the foundation of prayer is obedience to God's commandments. You know what they are. And you know the ones you're not walking in. Change the way you're walking, and it will change the outcome of your praying. It's the foundations of prayer. And there's more, but we've stopped there. Let's go ahead and look at some of the importance of prayer. There are 6 points. The first one is not yet. But the first thing we should look at before we get to the point is, how does God view prayer? If we want to know the importance of prayer, how does God view prayer? In the Bible that's sitting on most of your laps, in Genesis, at the end of chapter 4, Seth had a son named Enos, and it says, "And at that time, men began to call upon the name of the Lord." That's pretty early in the creation account. And then, in the middle of your Bible, approximately, you have the book of Psalms. And it is the highest expression of prayer in the Old Covenant. It's contained in the book of Psalms. And I think that those of you that read that would agree with me that those words, even though they are of the Old Covenant, are often a great blessing. And God, making sure that we wouldn't miss the point, spoke it at the beginning, the middle, and the end. In Revelation 22, it ends with prayer. It says, He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So the Bible opens with prayer. It's founded upon prayer in the middle, and it closes with prayer. How does God view prayer? It's fairly important to Him, don't you? Don't you think? It's highly exalted in God's mind, this idea of prayer. Let me ask you a question. Another question. Who is a Christian here? Would all Christians stand up? All of you Christians that are standing up, let me ask you something that goes right along with, are you a Christian? How did you become a Christian? I got born again. God called me and something happened. You prayed. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? If what was begun in prayer is to be completed, it must be completed by prayer and through prayer. Now, I'm not really calling any of you foolish. It's just Bible, so I was quoting. But are you? What does God's Word say to your own heart? That which was begun in the Spirit, is it being perfected in the Spirit? Or are you trying to do something else? You can be seated. Thank you. Wanted to make sure I was talking to the right group. That is part of the mystery and the mysticism of gospel Christianity. Now, don't get scared when I say the word mysticism or talk about mystics. We're not talking about transcendental meditation. We're not talking about the silence or sacred word repetitions. When I'm talking about mysticism, I'm talking about Jesus Christ type of mysticism. In John chapter 3, if you want to open your Bibles there, I'm sure many of you could just quote it. Let's look at the conversation that Christ had with Nicodemus. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus saith unto him, and he answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. If you are sitting here today, and you are born again, and walking in the light of Jesus Christ, you are a type of a mystic. You had an experience that you cannot explain in the natural. You met with somebody face to face that you have never seen. You heard words that were never spoken. And you have an experience that is undeniable. You have an inward witness that no matter how much the skeptics argue, and it comes down to this, and you don't know the whole Bible perfectly, and you don't understand all theology, but you can just say, well, I know that I know. Because in here I know. And you can't take away what's been done in me. What I was before, I am not now. That's a mystery. Praise Jesus for mysteries. Well, that's only one place in the Bible. But in John chapter 4, the woman at the well is wanting something concrete. Give me some water from the well. You don't have anything to draw with, and the well is deep. And when it comes all around through that whole conversation, Jesus says unto her, God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Well, that's a little mystical. I want to expunge the bad connotation from your mind. This is our Christ, our Savior, who said these things. In John chapter 6, Jesus said, lest ye eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, ye have no part of me. Well, many are offended at this saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. These are some of the mysteries of the Christian faith. And they undergird prayer. They should wipe away some of the reasons you've been holding back. If you would understand that this was Christ's desire for you, that you would enter into this life of Him and not live sensually. And I don't mean sexually. I mean sensually as in according to your eyes, your ears, your nose, your mouth, your sensory feelings. But that you would live by the Spirit, living spiritually, perceiving things spiritually, and responding then according to the spiritual nature of God. All of that was point number one, sorry. Number two, in the importance of prayer. Prayer is the root of the relationship with God. Prayer is the root of your relationship with God. What does a root do? When you put a seed in the ground, the root is the first thing that goes forth. And the root gathers nutrients from the life source around it. And it spreads out and it finds those sources of strength. And that root system spreads a pretty good ways before you see anything work its way up out of the ground. The stronger that root system gets, the larger the upward growth is. And in a tree, that growth not only gains in height, but it grows in girth. And something happens at the base and at the top, and the top begins to mirror the root system beneath. And it branches out in many different ways, and it becomes a beautiful tree, giving shade and shelter to many things around it. And it grows and sends forth leaves, and some trees bear fruit. And it's a beautiful thing, but all of that is dependent upon the root. If a tree gets a disease in the root, it might still look right on the outside for a little while. But if that root is damaged and it begins to decay, when a wind comes, that tree topples over. And there's no life left, and everybody then discovers it. If prayer is the root of our relationship with God, and you find your relationship with God not where it ought to be, what might your problem be? It might be a difficulty in prayer. Something very amazing about roots. When rains come and the winds blow, something precedes it. The sky gets dark. How many of you have ever experienced a Midwestern tornado? A few of you? How about a really bad snowstorm? Any of you from Wisconsin ever seen a bad snowstorm? A couple? The sky gets dark. It's pretty foreboding. Things don't look really good. And you know that there's some trouble coming. And when the storm really hits, it just happened around here not too long ago, there was ice, and there was wind, and there was cold, and there was snow, and it did a great deal of damage to what was above the ground. Here's the amazing thing about roots. That very damaging storm, as it dissipates, it sinks into the soil. And the roots gather life from the residue of that storm. And they feed then that tree that was damaged. And they repair, the root sends forth sap that repairs the damaged part. And it grows new parts. And that tree can end up more beautiful than it was before, after it's been pruned. You ever suffered some difficulties in your life like that? You thought, boy, I'm really mangled. Maybe some of you younger ones not yet. Maybe so. But if you have a good prayer root right into God's presence, it comes out all right, doesn't it?
You've shared that. Sure pray that you have a strong root system. But if you don't, entering today, I hope by the end of the week you do. And it's not one that will fade away in a month or so and you need another message. But something will come alive in your heart that will change you. Change you forever. Next point. Prayer is the foundation of the relationship that opens the revelation of God to man. Prayer is the foundation of the relationship that opens up the revelation of God to man.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. If you would like to listen to part two of this message, please press 8 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.